بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 18th of December in the year 2020 الحمد لله we moved on to the 12th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the venerable chief of Al-Khazraj Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu and I'm on the subsection in which I've mentioned that his blessed mother has passed away Sayyida Amra bint Mas'ud radiyallahu and I mentioned that she had a vow that she had intended to fulfill but death had overtaken her so Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu, he mentioned that if I free a slave, will that fulfill the vow of my mother? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. But there's fiqh. With regards to the fiqh, Shaykh Nawab Qutbuddin Khan Dehlawi rahmatullah alayh had clarified in his Mazayir Ihaq, number 3433. The majority of scholars, rahimuhumullah, they state, that if anyone takes a vow but dies before fulfilling it, then his heirs are not bound to honor it on his behalf. If it is for something other than a monetary pledge, i.e. such as fasting, salah. So let's break this down. So the question is, somebody has passed away and he has a vow that's not been fulfilled. So does his children have to fulfill that vow? The majority of scholars say no. If it is nothing to do with money. So for instance, if your father before he passed away vowed that he would fast a certain number of days, the majority of scholars say the children do not need to keep the fast. If the father had intended to offer a certain number of rakats, the children do not need to keep those numbers of rakats. The Shaykh continued. Also, if he had vowed to make a monetary contribution, but had left nothing behind, then too it is not wajib on the heirs to fulfill the vow. However, if they honor it, it is mustahab. So now what if he has or she vowed something monetary? So they said before they died that I vow that I would give £200 in sadaqah. The shuyukh say if she's left nothing behind, then it is not wajib. But if the children do fulfill the vow, it is recommended. Then the Shaykh said, the Zawahir, the literalists, they say it is wajib on the heirs to fulfill the vow, basing their verdict on the hadith of Ibn Abbas. So look how interesting. Then the Shaykh says, if you take the hadith literally of Abdullah Ibn Abbas, it seems to indicate it is wajib for the heirs. So which hadith? Just to reiterate the report, in Bukhari and Muslim, Abdullah Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu once asked for a decision about a vow which was due from his mother who had passed away before she fulfilled it. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave decision to him that he should fulfill it on her behalf. So if you just look at that hadith, what impression would you get? It's a must to fulfill the vow. The Shaykh was the Zawahid say this, those who don't follow a fiqh. Then the Shaykh said, most of the scholars, rahimuhumullah, however, contend that the heir has not made the vow wajib on himself. So he is not liable to fulfill it. It would only be mustahab for him to fulfill it. Why? If a person doesn't make a vow, it might not be, he just might have made a recommendation. And how can he become wajib on you? Even logically. Then the Shaykh said, as for this hadith, which I've mentioned, it does not make it wajib. Unless you take the prophetic words to mean an obligation. Secondly, it is possible that the mother of Sayyidina Sa'd, radiyallahu anh, may have left a legacy. And he could thus have been commanded by the Prophet's command to do it voluntarily. So most of the shuyukh say, if she's left something, so maybe she left something. And from that, Sa'd was going to fulfill the vow. So why have I discussed the fiqh here? I don't usually go into the fiqh. Don't start giving fatwa from hadith. Right? So you'll get, yeah, hadith is clear. The classic dangerous opening line, the hadith is clear. If I mention that hadith of Ibn Abbas, wouldn't you think the hadith is clear? And yet, is it clear? Right? So note, there's rulings here. So we've discussed the vow. After fulfilling his noble mother's vow, radiyallahu anh, Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anh, now wondered as to what would be the best thing to pass on as a gift to his honorable mother. So this is important now. He's fulfilled the vow. We've discussed the fiqh. But now he wants to know what can he do himself from his own initiative to help his mother who's passed away. So this report. In Nasa'i, number 3694-6, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, Hakim Sahih, Ibn Hibban Sahih, Ibn Khuzaymah Sahih, Targhib number 676, Mishkat volume 2, number 11, in the chapter on the excellence of charity. Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he once asked, radiyallahu anhu, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily, the mother of Sa'd has passed away. Thus, which sadaqah would now be best I to pass on to her? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, water. Sa'd thereupon excavated a well. He dug a well out and said, this is for the mother of Sa'd. So let's look at this. Who better to ask? Imagine you go to a person, what do you think I should pass on to? Brother, offer salat. Fantastic, no problem. Fast, brother. MashaAllah, fantastic. What did Rasulullah say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said one word. Ma. Water. Immediately, Sa'd dug a well out. Now, this is interesting. He didn't just donate something. He excavated, he made a well. And he goes, this is for the mother of Sa'd, my mother. In another report, the Prophet stressed this. How do we know? In Tabarani, in his Awsat Sahih, Targhib number 676, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa alayka bil ma, you must give water, O Sa'd. So in another Sahih hadith, the Prophet stressed it. He didn't just say, like a recommendation, I suggest you give water. Because you might get that impression from the previous report. From this report, the Prophet said, wa alayka bilma, you must give water. One of the reasons why this is such a treasured and priceless gift to the dead can be gauged from the following report. In Bukhari, in his tarikh, Ibn Khuzaymah Sahih, Targhib number 678, Jabir radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if anyone digs water, I makes a well, then whichever thirsty animal drinks from it, of the jinn, mankind or birds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then reward him for it on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. So the best way to look at this is that it's a continuous sadaqah. People don't think, they're a bit thick, right? So for example, you go, brother, what you do for your mom and dad? Salat. Salat terminates as soon as you finish. You know, haven't you thought logically about that? I'm fasting. Fasting finishes. Why don't you give something which doesn't finish? So a person goes, well, what doesn't finish? Sadaqah. Well, I don't understand. Bole bali Musliman. You have to explain it to them. He said, oh, brother, you know, she have a well. What happens then? Then he goes, oh, yeah, never thought of that. But there you go. Welcome to the real world, innit? Astaghfirullah. That's why the Prophet stressed it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, wa alayka bilma, you must give water for your mother. But well, now look at the three creations he mentioned. Jinn drink. Some people think jinn, you know, they worship the jinn. Jinn need water. What sort of gods are they? They need water. Mankind, obviously, and birds. Now think about that. How much water does a bird drink? Even that is recorded. You know, you'd think, oh, come on. you know, spanner just took a few drops. Oh, that's no, it's going to be a few gulps. That's what you think. And Allah gives that. And think about that. You got a well. I'm not being funny, but how many creations are drinking from that well? Sometimes they're thirsty. Sometimes they're not. They might use it for some other reasons. Might need to water the field. Sometimes they might need to do ghusl. Bale, bale, Musliman, right? You know, what should I do, brother? Climb Himalaya mountain, brother. What do you think? Give water in it, astaghfirullah. And then he goes, don't stop being, right? Just give the water. Dig a well. But make that intention, right? And everybody who drinks, look how beautiful it is. Allah Ta'ala knows. Right? You know, Allah Ta'ala knows. So, why is that important? It's a sincere deed. If you're on the top of the bike, there's danger in other deeds. But if you don't even know who's drinking from the well, how can that be riyah? Think about that. Right? So note another interesting thing. There's a report which mentions that animals, also the hadith mentions that if a person steals from a tree, he's a thief. Even that is recorded. And so imagine, well, he's talking about fruit. So you got, let's say, a pear tree. And a thief comes and takes the whole lot. You're thinking, oh my. If you had donated that for somebody, even though he's committed a major sin, all of that is converted to good deeds for the dead. So can you lose that? And yet people say, where, which part of the world, this, that, brother, just give the water in it. People who ask questions don't do it. I noticed that. Like, brother, should I do it in Africa? Do it in Timbuktu, brother. I don't know, right? Just do it. Shall I do it in Bangladesh? No, no, brother. Just do it. And the people who do it, they just do it. I know it. They'll just do it. Another thing which people ask is, can they put a plaque on the well? So, for instance, could they say, this is for the mother of Sa'd? The response is, well, who needs to know that? Right? That's number one. Allah Ta'ala knows it's going to go to your mother. So who you actually, but some scholars say, no, this is to show that so-and-so's family have remembered their mother. And it's encouraging others to do the same. So there's a bit of leniency in that. Don't start going too hot under the collar over somebody putting their name on the well. But this is also something which the Prophet encouraged. Now, if I was to say to you, what's Sa'd done so far? He's fulfilled the vow of his mother, freed a slave. He's dug a well, excavated a well. If I was to ask you who's drinking from that well, Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, think about that. One sip from his blessed lips, imagine his mother. What record is going to his mother? He goes, what, why is these mountains coming to me? Rasulullah has had a sip. Your son built a well. Subhanallah. Sa'd radiallahu anhu also graciously donated other things to his mother. It wasn't just water. Some people then, you know, they notice, they sign off. I've done it, brother. What have you done? I've given a wealth for my mother. So you've done what? Is that it? He goes, oh, you don't need to do anything else. In Bukhari, in his Sahih, Nasa'i number 3680 Sahih, Ibn Khuzaymah number 2500 Sahih, Ibn Hibban number 857 Sahih, related similar. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, the mother of Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhuma passed away whilst he was away. When he returned, he came to Rasulullah and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my mother passed away whilst I was absent. Would it thus now benefit her if I gave her something as charity on her behalf? He said, yes. Sa'd said, you are now my witness that I give my orchard, al-mikhraf, as sadaqah on her behalf. You are now my witness that I give my orchard, al-mikhraf, as sadaqah on her behalf. So now he's given an orchard. Orchard to the Arabs was their life income. The Ansar, that was their income. He gave an orchard. And it was a prized orchard, al-mikhraf. So now, what has Sa'd passed on to his venerable mother? You can say three things, definitely. Number one, he freed a slave. You could argue he was fulfilling the vow. Number two, he dug a well for her in al-Madinah. And number three, donated a much treasured orchard in her name. So now, what is the reward for donating orchards? Like I mentioned, even if a thief steals from the fruits, it's recorded. By analogy, the same is true for the world, meaning you don't lose out. And it's continuous, because orchard, you have seasons. Sometimes the fruits like dates all the year round. But imagine how much from one tree. Forget about an orchard. Just from one tree. If I said to you, I've donated a pear tree, apple tree for my mother. So questions. What's the lifespan of an apple tree? How many years? Second question. How often does it produce apples? Thirdly, if an apple just falls, nobody's ate from it, will my mother get the reward for that? Yes. Why? Because worms, even the things on the floor, animals, even the earth, ulama say, consumes the apple. Right? There's no waste. It's continuous sadaqah. Why aren't people doing this? Because they're more bothered about fighting over what they've left for them. Think about that. Let's fight over the houses they've left. Let's fight over the land that they've left, the money. Bachara's in grave. His children are fighting for what he's left. Now, who's the problem? The problem is, did the father educate the children? Right? So, Lord, you know, this is why it's important, first to get married, secondly to have children, and thirdly, not just to have children, to also educate them. Why? Because that's a great source of protection for you. Subhanallah, keeping his incredible generosity in mind, who knows what else this most exalted man had graciously passed on to his venerable mother. This is important. We only know about the Sahaba what Allah Ta'ala has allowed us. So what do I mean by that? It is arrogance on our part to go through a companion's life and say, I know him now. No, you don't know him. You only know what Allah Ta'ala has allowed you to know. The person doesn't get it. You say, okay, we're talking about Sa'ad ibn Ubadah's sadaqah. So what did he give his mother? So this is what you're supposed to say. He donated an orchard and he excavated a well. But you don't say, and that's it. And even your heart says, well, I'm sure he did more than that. But that's what's reached us. So what else? Imagine, you know, they're going through their lives at the end of their glorious lives. You always have to pinch yourself, and this is only what we know about them. But even that pinch, isn't that enough to know about their lives? Their greatness is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But should we find this generosity strange? No. Because what did our beloved messenger, what dua did he make for the family of Sa'd? Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shower your special mercy upon the family of Sa'd ibn Ubadah and forgive them. This is in Abu Dawood, Kanzul Omal, volume 5, page 190, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 164, the New English Translation. Who was the dua for? Sa'd? No, his family. What was the dua? Special mercy and forgiveness. Wasn't mercy enough? Right? If the Prophet ﷺ did the dua, Ya Allah, have mercy upon this person. Isn't that enough? It wasn't enough for Sa'd's family. Shower them with your special mercy and forgive them. So you notice, this is the dua being activated. Sa'd ibn Ubadah was doing all this. Blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua. And don't forget, Sa'd wasn't her only son. Right? Her grandson was scarce. Oh my God, what do you think he's going to give for his grandmother? We've been through, you know, his generosity. So note how beautiful it is. You're going through their lives, but you're also learning very, very important and priceless lessons. What do we do when one of our beloved ones pass away? We just sit down and grieve and tell our, pull our hair out. And inshallah, to start this next section, entitled, Fiqh, what may be passed on to the dead Muslims? So again, this is when everybody becomes mufti. You go, brother, what can I pass on? Oh, brother, everything. Then you go to another person, what thing? Whoa, brother, you can't pass nothing on, he's dead. Plus, he's gone. And then you're scratching your head thinking, he said I can pass everything on. You're saying I can pass diddly squat. Right? So who's right? And the answer is, are they muftis? So let us elucidate upon this with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's interesting is the scholars, how they came to their final conclusion. So Shaykh Maududi rahmatullah alayh, it is Tafsir, volume 13, page 259 to 61 of the English translation. So Shaykh Maududi, he says, quoting rahmatullah alayh, the Hanafi viewpoint, rahimahumullah, is that a person can send the reward of each of his virtuous acts as a gift to the other, whether it is salah, fasting, recital of the Quran, dhikr, sadaqah, hajj or umrah. I put in brackets, this is also the Hanbali viewpoint, refer to the Reliance of the Traveller, page 928 of the English translation. Just stop in the quote. He gives you the answer first. So Shaykh Sayyid Maududi, who was a Sayyid, rahmatullah alayh, he wrote a commentary on the Quran and he's given the view of the Hanafis. And what he said was, you can pass everything on. Salat, fasting, Quran, recital, dhikr, sadaqah, hajj, umrah. I've added the Hanbalis share this view. Then the Shaykh said, this is confirmed by many, many hadiths. Then he quotes a few, I'll mention them. In Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Ibn Majah, Ahmad Tabarani, our beloved mother, Sayyida Aisha, Sayyidina Abu Huraira, and many others, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they all said, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got two rams sacrificed, one on behalf of himself and his family, and the other on behalf of his ummah. So let's look at this, stopping the report. What did the Prophet do? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He slaughtered two rams. One ram was for who? Himself and his family. What was the second ram for? His entire ummah. So what does that prove? You can pass something on to the dead. Then the Shaykh quotes a second hadith. The hadith is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad and is Hassan. Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu, he relates that his grandfather in the Jahiliyyah, As ibn Wa'il, had vowed to sacrifice 100 camels. His uncle Hisham ibn al-As sacrificed 50 of the camels of his own share. And my father Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what he should do. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if your father had a firm faith in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may then have observed fast on his behalf or give something in charity. This indeed would have been beneficial for him. So let's break this down. So who's narrating the hadith? See people walking in and out, people mind drifting, right? Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he's narrating the hadith, radiallahu anhu. He's talking about his grandfather. So who is his grandfather? No, that's his father. Al-As ibn Wa'il. Al-As ibn Wa'il, was he a Muslim? No. His grandfather, As ibn Wa'il, he vowed to sacrifice 100 camels. That was a vow. So his uncle, who's the son of Al-As, Hisham, so who's the uncle of Abdullah ibn Amr, his cha-cha, he sacrificed 50 camels. Amr ibn Al-As, who's Sahaba, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, can I do the other 50, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if your father had believed, you could have fasted on his behalf. You could have given sadaqah. All of that would have reached him. So what does it mean? It means if a person dies without iman, you can't send anything. But what two deeds did the Prophet mention? Fasting, sadaqah. So what did Shaykh Maududi say? He's telling you, look, these can be sent. He quotes another hadith. In Daruqutni, authentic. A man asked, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had been observing serving my parents whilst they were alive. What should I now do when they are dead? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this would now also be in their service. If you offered salat on their behalf, along with your own salat, observe fasts on their behalf, along with your own fasts. So what did the sahaba ask? What can I do for them, Ya Rasulullah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, when you offer salat, do it for them as well. If you fast, do it for them as well. Another report he quotes in Daruqutni, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu alayhi said, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person passing by a graveyard recites Surat Ikhlas 11 times and then gives it away, the rewards to the dead, then all the dead ones will be granted their due share of the rewards. So this is the sunnah. Not when you enter the graveyard. The hadith passing by a graveyard. 11 Surat Ikhlas, and everyone will get their share, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So this is a sunnah. So Shaykh Maududi, why is he narrating these reports? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you what? Don't forget the dead. There's many things you can pass on to them. Surat Ikhlas, what did I mention a few weeks prior about the rewards of Surat Ikhlas? What was happening to the dead for 1 year? They were distributing one Surat Ikhlas for 1 year. Think about that. One Surat Ikhlas for 1 year, they were distributing. So don't think these are small deeds. These are huge things. Shaykh Maududi went on to clarify that the deeds passed on, there's certain conditions. Number one, it must be pure in confirmation with the Shariat. You can't pass innovations on, wasting your time, right? Number two, it will only reach those with Iman. And number three, you can't pass sins on. You might hear somebody, you think, right, hear that? The zina I did last night, right? That's not going anywhere, right? So only good deeds can be passed on, but there's conditions. Iman, and it must be in line with the Sharia. So now this is the ruling of the Hanafis and Hanbalis. The rulings of the Malikis and Shafis are mentioned tomorrow. Right? So this is important. Why? Because obviously as you get older, more and more people pass away into the barzakh. And it's important to know what you can do for them. You don't guess. You know, people just guess, I think I'm alright. What are you doing? Right? You know, you've got to do something with understanding. And look how merciful and generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He could have said no. They live their lives, nothing. So look at his kindness. And why? Two ways. One, he's showing kindness to the dead, saying, look, you still got an avenue, a huge avenue for you. And for the living, he's comforted you. Why? Because you haven't broken ties with them. You can't pass anything on to them, they've gone. But the fact that you're doing something shows that you're still got a connection with them. And the Prophet clearly said many things about the dead. He said, do not forget them. They're like drowning people. And the analogy there is, if a person is drowning, isn't it an obligation to help them? You don't go to a mufti, somebody's drowning, do I need to help him? Right? Mufti Sahib is not going to say to you, well, there's a difference of opinion. By the time you finish the difference of opinion, the guy's drowned. So the Prophet is telling you, it's an obligation. Right? The Sahaba goes, of course we'd help them. And the Prophet said, dua. Make dua for them. Dua is also something you can pass on. And it's probably the cheapest. But shouldn't be belittled, because it's something that the Prophet greatly encouraged. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not forgetting that if you remember the dead, then when you die, inshallah, somebody will remember you. If you're miserly, you'll be gone with the bygones. There's people now that just passed away, nobody's remembering them. Let alone not remembering them, they haven't even left a marker for their grave. You go into the graveyard, there's graves and there's no marker. You think, once I was at my father's grave, rahmatullah alayhi, there's another person standing, and there's no grave. I'm thinking, what's he doing? And then my sister-in-law asked, and he goes, oh, this is my dad's grave. There's nothing there. And then she told him, well, we should make something to make a marker so people don't walk over the grave and this, that, and the other. Note again, neglect of the dead. Astaghfirullah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask?
No, sir. Fast and as you pass, not filling it, not.
Okay. So the vast majority say that the farad and the obligations cannot be passed on. But some section of the scholars say that can be passed on as well. Right? So again, there's ikhtilaf over that. But any optional deed, whether it's sunnah or purely nafl, can be passed on. Right? But you must make intention. Once the deed is finished, it's too late. Right? So what do I mean by this? For example, you might be offering a sunnah prayer, and after you finish, you go, oh, I should have made intention. Should have passed it on too late. You must make the intention before the deed, Or during the deed. So even during Salat, you may have forgot. During Salat, you can make that intention before the tasleem. In your heart, Ya Allah, pass this on to my father. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And look how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You don't lose any rewards. It's not 50-50. You've lost 50% of the chunk and he gets 50%. He gets 100%. You get 100%. So why are you depriving? Subhanallah. Right? So again, very important, you know, because obviously, you know, the Muslims help and support each other. Any other questions? سبحان ربي الحمد لله سبحان الله وما بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وعسى بالحق وعسى بالصبر